mic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's a mic. Is this a refined agenda?
Well, hello there, Dr. Sir. How are you?
How you doing?
How we doing, Dr. Doug?
I'm like running on empty.
Running on empty?
I was on call this weekend.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. Is this the new agenda?
Yes, that's the most recent one. Is two executive sessions.
Okay.
I need to start executives. Marking those. Mrs. Miller standing talking to
him. Oh, I'm not sure who that is. I don't know who that is. Don't know. Excuse me.
I'd like to open the fact-finding hearing, Mr. Hugg.
thank you, Mayor Schaefer. We have fact-finding hearings on two proposed annexations to the town of Smyrna. These have been before you at previous times. They've gone through planning and zoning, are now coming back for I guess this is step two in the process. In your packet is the information from the rezoning hearing. They are the Hoffecker property at 5722 North DuPont Highway and the Flores property at 5543 North DuPont Highway. Both of these are proposed for annexation with highway commercial zoning. One of them is currently a residential use. The other one is an existing auto sales and service facility. They're both proposing to come into the town. They're consistent with the comprehensive plan designation, and they're on the east side of the highway in both cases. No,
one on each side.
I'm sorry. The one Hoffecker's is on the east side. The other one is a remaining piece on the west side, across from the rest area. I think it's the one remaining parcel that has not been. There may be one other proposed for annexation.
Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak in favor of these applications? Anyone who would like to? Yes, sir. Mr. Hoffecker, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Could you please give your name and address?
Ronald H. Hoffecker, president of George H. Hoffecker Incorporated, and I reside at 518 Cindy Lane in Smyrna.
Thank you very much.
When we previously entered our application for annexation, I mentioned that we have been there 52 consecutive years, and as of now, January 1, we will be 53 consecutive years. So it's been a good ride for us there. However, I think it would be stupid for us to think that we could sit at that position and be landlocked. So we definitely need the town services, and we would like to have the council approve it for us, please.
Any questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Yeah, I have. Mr. Hoffecker, do you have you've been an auto, dealer for that many years?
That's correct.
Okay. And you store automobiles, that sort of thing, on your property?
Inventory for sale, yes.
Right. And I'm just wondering as to whether or not the ground underneath it is, Gene, help me out here, but
Sir, we had our tanks, our gas tanks removed approximately 15 years ago by the federal guidelines, which was done by Ligger Construction. So there are no contaminated points in the ground. Everything was filtered, and our cars don't sit there long enough to leak oil, sir.
Good for you.
This piece of property, it isn't a salvage yard. It's a
strictly a used car. Totally a sales lot.
Site.
That's correct.
So there isn't. I wouldn't have any environmental concerns with it.
We have two wells there. They're both they're both top grade A world. They're the best in the state. They're on the main that comes out of Newcastle County as far up as Claymont. So everything there is, it should be in perfect condition, sir.
And even if there were a problem, we've heard from our attorney in the past that the town would have no liability. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else would like to speak in favor of either two of these applications? Anyone in opposition? Any questions or comments from council?
Yeah, I have a question. Maria Flores' property, that's highway commercial, but she's the present use is residential. I thought you couldn't live if it was a commercial.
First of all, the existing residence would be considered a legal non-conforming use, which can remain until such time as that use ceases. You can also have a residence in a highway commercial district, but as an accessory use. But in this case, there's no problem annexing it as a residential use. There are residential uses in the older part of Smyrna on Route 13 that are in highway commercial districts and have been for decades. And until that use ceases, it's legal.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. Hug, did you have any other comments?
No, sir.
Hearing none, I will close the fact-finding hearing, and we'll reconvene in about 10 minutes or less. Thank you very much.
Signed, yeah, that means signed by the governor. And it's in her list of signed legislation. I don't know.
You're right.
Thank you very much.
What can we do?
I was scared there for a while, though, when they
first heard it. I don't know why George keeps this off.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, there's nothing we can do about it, particularly, except just make people aware that it is.
And, you know, like that whole thing with the referendum on March 3rd.
Yeah.
Do you want me to mention getting everybody hooked up? Do you want to?
Part of your report.
Yeah, you can. I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. You can do it.
Everything's going
underground.
Okay, phone company's going to run everything underground.
What are you doing?
I think cables can run there.
Is this the new
this
one?
This is the new one. It says it.
I couldn't
lose two items.
Has the executive session?
There's two executive sessions.
How do we have two executive sessions?
Because we have two items to discuss.
Oh.
We have one executive session with two items.
Yeah. There are so many important things going on, sir.
I just wanted to get you guys trash cans.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Chilly out there, man.
What you doing now?
That's
the new Capanna subdivision.
You know what? There's a house going up in the South Lake Battle property.
There's three houses going up.
There's three houses going up.
Yeah.
So, I guess once the electric gets
Hooked up, Romini
or the
other one are electric company.
What do you want?
The other two out front.
Is there one of the
no.
Is there any more specific?
Very self-explanatory.
The one in back.
Nope. Nope. What else would you like us not to tell you?
That weighs up.
Huh? I don't know what weighs up.
Okay. We can deny things with a vest on.
No.
I won't even be able to tell you after we come out of executive session either. Okay.
Is that Pat's companion?
Yes, that's wrong.
Okay. separated and then again.
Well, I think at the time we started, I figured out who it was, but she lived there.
Surgery.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Lord. Mercy on us all.
Something bad. You have to report for jury duty tomorrow.
I do not.
Let me stop in and talk to you. I came up today while I was here that I need help.
It's too bad.
Before I leave here tonight, I'm going to ask about how many minutes I need to let you know what happens with the annexation, the elections for Flores and Hoffecker. She's got the ads, but I want her to know whether or not to run.
Okay.
And I wanted to tell Daryl something now. I don't have to
talk to
him. Okay. Okay. I don't want him to close those down until at least the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, next Tuesday, because I've got a big event out there.
Are we having our tree lighting thing out there on Monday night?
It's good emotions.
I don't
clue either.
I didn't. I meant to ask.
Just about killed herself trying to get him and Janet and her to respond to her, and I don't know what happened with
my emotions are.
Assuming we're having it, but I have no idea.
I haven't seen any advertising.
I haven't seen. No, I know. I don't know what's going on either. I figured I had enough to worry about. Okay.
She heard good things. She said things about you. I mean, look, I can disagree with you, but I'm not going to do it. Blah, blah, blah.
Where the chief is tonight.
I could really get mad at you, but on the other hand, you're 80% good. You know, you're 80% there.
Thanks.
And what you can hope for in life is 80%. You can
80%. Hi, Erica.
You know?
We don't need a... We didn't need
just always remember
anything other than a motion to do that. Okay, just so we want to extend the moratorium. Okay.
Well, I know. And here, it's like we're all climbing the same mountain. We're all doing
yep.
And this one. You're telling this much like. Officially, under new business, officially change your name to Mullins.
No, I got Seth. Seth, I got him. Because Saturday night, was it Saturday night or Friday night?
At the boys' club? Remember.
At the Dover Joe's. It was Saturday night. He came in and he hooked up with these women that were having a birthday party. And I mean, he was knocked.
Where? At Joe's?
At Joe's. I mean, they were dancing and you know, just carrying on and all that kind of stuff, man. I got to tell him, though, I didn't get a chance to say much.
You were right.
They were having a good time Thursday night, I'd say, too.
Thursday
night. That's kind of I went to school.
Yeah. Gonna do that again.
Yep.
Once again.
Sure.
Like battle vote.
Don't we vote twice on everything?
Sure.
I don't like the result. We just keep going, right?
Might be able to swing another one. You never know.
Oh well.
Not gonna affect anything now. There's nothing in the works.
Right? Nothing in the works. So these couple picky little.
Well, I think it's up a little.
No, they're perfect.
That's commercial.
It won't. It won't. It's 1.8 acres, maybe something like that. It's not. It's less than 2 acres.
But they're both. They're both commercial.
Yes. Yeah. They're both commercial. So there's no.
Cool. Are these people from that property?
They're most of them are from up north. Most of them are from up north. Okay.
What can we annex the with the Papa's bar down there?
Meeting with the pledge?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could have a brief moment of silent reflection. Thank you. You got a lead? Are you coming back?
That was yours.
Yeah, I'll be back. All right. Yeah, I'll be back.
Just so everybody knows, Councilman Evans had to leave the room. That was his pager. He's a first responder with a fire company, so he'll be back hopefully. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? Other than this, you do have a new agenda in front of you. And what, did you just add one thing? It was the last item?
Yeah, we added a second item to the executive session and the last item, which will follow from that.
What's the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion we accept the agenda.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. We have a set of minutes, 10:16. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions?
Yes, I'd like to have an addition. When we were discussing the police committee that was being formed, when we were voting, actually, when Mr. Schaefer nominated Jim Veit, we were kind of thinking about, honestly, who people were. I was trying to put names with faces. And Mr. Schaefer, your comment was, this isn't rocket science, folks. We can move through this quickly. I'd like that added to the minutes, and I would like to state that I can't speak for the council but for myself, that I don't appreciate being spoken to that way.
I apologize if I offended you. Where would you like to add it? On what page?
I'd have to look and see what page it was. Under the employee committee for the police building is where it was.
Starts on page 16.
Well, Ms. McKinney can figure out where to add that.
Thank you.
And again, I apologize if you were offended. Any other additions, deletions, corrections? What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion we accept the minutes of October 16th as amended.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. I have nothing, Ms. Schrader.
No report, sir.
Lieutenant?
No report.
Mr. Hug?
Thank you. If my report is in your packet, I do want to call your attention to kind of the middle of the report talks about Hoffecker, Flores, Stover, and Oak Ridge annexations and the English annexation. Just to remind council that the first four had been previously considered by the council some time ago. They were delayed due to our issues with state planning and some plan of services questions. So just they are not new. They've just been kind of off the radar screen for a little while we work out some other issues. I believe that's it.
Mr. Hug, is this referring to item AF?
Yes, sir.
Stover English and Oakland Holdings.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else? Any committee reports?
I have a question relating to the Ethics Committee. And where do we stand on that? I think we went through the acceptance of the ordinance and the... So are we going to form an Ethics Committee?
Do we have one?
No, we don't.
We do not, no.
Okay. We'll need to do that then.
And, okay.
We'll have that on the agenda for the next meeting. Any other committee reports?
The Finance Committee met on November 14th to continue discussing the budget for 2007. The Putnam Group made a request, I believe that was in your packets, to the last meeting. We're still gathering information on that request, and at the next meeting, which is next week, we'll probably come up with a recommendation. The next meeting is going to be a joint meeting. It's going to be a joint Personnel Finance Committee meeting. It's on November 28th. It starts at 5 o'clock. All of council, I hope, will attend, as will the public. And I have one other thing. November 17th, which was last Friday, I think it was Friday, Mr. Hugg wrote a letter to Hunt Construction, who is doing a major job at the airbase. Through the efforts of Mike Morris, who's a resident here in Smyrna, Hunt Construction had decided to donate the playground equipment located on the residential side of the airbase. And there's approximately 48 pieces of equipment there, slides, jungle gyms, and all that. And I want to thank him for his efforts and his hard work in getting these. As soon as the construction company is ready to demo the areas that they're in, the town crew and volunteers will go down there and pull them up and bring them up to town for inclusion in hopefully added parkland.
I would like to thank him, too. And then the next thing is, are we going to be able to put them up on a piece of ground somewhere?
Yep. We have parks waiting for equipment.
Yeah, I'd personally like to thank Mr. Morris. And the word you use, demo, I mean, that's slang for demolishing.
Yes. Yes.
Any other committee reports?
Just that we had a personnel committee meeting, and... going over, finishing up with our manual, and the 28th, like Gene said, we have a finance joint to finish up a couple items, and we will be done.
We had a public safety meeting last week. We discussed a sex offender ordinance. The committee is reviewing that, and we discussed bringing forward a operating charge for the committee, and we should hopefully adopt that at our next meeting and bring it forward to council for their review. Any other committee meetings? Now is the time in the agenda to recognize visitors. This will be your only opportunity to address the council this evening, so I would encourage you to do so. If you could please give your name and address for the record, we would appreciate it very much. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Al Pickett. I live over in 24 North Main Street. The last meeting, November 6th, I dropped a detailed letter off about alongside of our property on Mount Vernon Street, where, in fact, the one house built by Stonewall doesn't seem to meet code, and there's other issues with some condos that are going to go in there as well and sewer lines. And Mayor Schaefer asked me to come back and find out if you had a chance to take a look at it and made a decision on what we're going to do about it.
It was my understanding you were going to receive answers. Did anybody get a chance to look at that?
We've actually, Janet Vince and I have gone over the letter. I've also discussed it with Terry J. Work's office. We are preparing a response. We haven't gotten it complete yet, but we've looked at all of the issues raised and should get you a response quickly.
What do you think, within a couple of weeks?
I think certainly within a couple of weeks, right after Thanksgiving.
There's only one thing that comes to my mind. I just don't understand how it was built to begin with when it didn't meet offsets and setbacks and so forth. And I guess that's what I'm kind of looking for, but I thought maybe we could just spearhead this thing off and find out instead of having 110 feet, it's 76 feet. And it was questioned many times before it was actually built. And I was told that it was okay, it met code, and then when I met with Janet about a month and a half ago, she said none of it meets code. So, and I have witnesses to that, too, so that's where I am.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll have an answer next week from the attorney, and with specific
should
answers.
I stop back here again, Mayor, or?
Yes, please.
Next meeting?
I think you should do that.
Okay, see you next meeting, then.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to address the council? Yes, sir.
My name is Terry Foley. I live on 1348 Van Dyke Green Spring Road. I'm familiar with the problems at 25 East Mount Vernon Street. And there was a lawyer there, Mr. Busio, I think his name was. I read the minutes of the Board of Adjustment meeting a month or two ago. Well, he was representing Stonewall, and he's a member of the J-Work firm. At the same time, Mr. Busio was representing Smyrna at the Board of Adjustment meeting. And he was even asking questions at the Board of Adjustment meeting that referred to this property. And obviously, there's a conflict of interest in that case. He was being paid by Stonewall about a sewer line going through there and moving it and things. He's being paid by the town council to sit on the meeting, and he's there discussing this property. When he's representing both sides, So therefore, I don't know how you could ask the J-Work law firm in Dover to give an opinion about this matter of 25 East Main Street, because they've already had a conflict of interest. Now if they give another opinion on this matter, it's just more conflict. I think the town has to hire another lawyer if they're going to consult counsel. They need to hire another lawyer to check into this if they want legal issues to researched and try to resolve this matter. And also, some people here might want to get a criminal representation, because I don't know how you could build a house on get building permits and not know what's going on when it's obviously so clear that the house should have never been built there.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are you absolutely sure as to the facts that you're stating?
Yes. I've read the minutes of the meetings.
No. As far as this attorney representing both sides.
I have the minutes of two meetings, and I think they were in October. The Board of Adjustment meetings, and he was sitting as the attorney for the Board of Adjustment in Zaney.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, sir. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council? Yes, sir.
My name is David Pleasant, and I live at 35 West Mount Vernon Street in Smyrna. I'm also a friend of Mr. Pickett here. And I've been investigating the code requirements for zoning for some time now, and I have a few things that maybe the solicitor might want to check or double check. These are all from the Town Code Appendix A zoning. Section 5, paragraph 9, it concerns the Central Commercial District. Subparagraph A, 15, this paragraph requires that since this is a commercial district, all applications for a residential permit must be approved as a special exception. But even after a Freedom of Information Act request concerning a special exception has been filed, Mr. Hugg's office has not responded, and no record of any special exception can be found. Yet Mr. Hugg approved the building permit. Also under Section 5, Paragraph 6, it deals with the residential district R3, which is referred to under the special exception. This paragraph requires a minimum lot depth of 110 feet. The lot in question has a depth of 76 feet. Regardless of this, Mr. Hugg approved the building permit. Also under Section 5, Paragraph 6, this paragraph requires a minimum side yard setback of 10 feet and that the deeds of adjoining property owners have recorded in them a 6-foot easement. Neither requirement has been met, yet Mr. Hugg approved a building permit. Under Section 7, referring to administration and enforcement, subparagraph 3, application for a building permit, this paragraph states, and I quote, all applications for building permits shall be accompanied by site plans in duplicate, drawn to scale, showing the actual dimensions and shape of the lot to be built upon. This was not complied with, yet Mr. Hugg approved the building permit. Also under Section 7, subparagraph 2, building permits required. This paragraph states, and I quote, no building permit shall be issued except in conformity with the provisions of this ordinance, state laws, and building and permit requirements. This was not complied with, yet Mr. Hugg approved the building permit. Also under Section 7, subparagraph 4, titled Certificates of Zoning Compliance for New, Altered, or Nonconforming Uses. This paragraph states that the administrative official shall not issue a certificate of zoning compliance unless he can state that the proposed use of the buildings or land conforms to the requirements of this ordinance. Yet Mr. Hugg issued the certificate. It is plain to me that Mr. Hugg has a conflict of interest. Any questions, any comments?
I do, Mr. President. Do you have proof of all this?
This is in your code, sir. You should have
to
read it.
Do you have proof that Mr. Hugg approved all this?
Mr. Hugg admitted in this meeting 2 weeks ago that he was the responsible official.
I asked you my question.
What did you ask?
You asked about the site plan and all that. Do you know there's no site plan and all?
The site plan, as we have a copy of, does not meet the requirements of the code.
Well, as Mr. Hugg said, the attorney's looking into it, and I'm sure we'll get a report next week.
Hopefully. It will be next week or next council meeting?
Well, we'll have an answer from Mr. Pickett at the next council meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council? Seeing no one come forward, I will close the public portion of the meeting. Thank you for your comments. 8A, we have an executive session scheduled to discuss potential litigation and an employee disciplinary matter. What's the pleasure of the council?
Make a motion. We go into executive session to discuss the aforementioned.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No. Mr. Hoffecker, I don't think we would need to ask you anything. I think you've answered all our questions, so I don't think there's any risk in you going home. Would everybody concur with that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I understand, this issue with Mr. Hoffecker's property did come with the recommendation of
correct
the planning and zoning and the town staff.
Correct.
And okay.
Comprehensive plan.
Have a good night, Ron.
And do we have a vote on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. We will be back up as soon as possible. You're all welcome to stay. We hope not to be very long.
Yes, okay.
Go ahead.
Let him carry it.
Yeah,
he'll feel better.
Just the nice quiet time, right?
You're welcome.
Motion to come out of executive session.
I make a motion we come out of executive session.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We have no formal action to take regarding the executive session, so I will move on to the next issue. 8B, zoning ordinance amendment to enact a moratorium.
I had this put on the agenda again. And because it was motioned and because it was voted on, it will take a motion and a vote on council to revisit the, this item. So I'll make a motion that we revisit ordinance number 022-06, zoning ordinance amendment to enact a moratorium on further annexations into the town.
I will second that motion.
All in favor?
Presley, no.
Aye.
Aye.
What exactly is the motion?
To revisit this.
It's a motion to revisit.
No.
Evans, no.
Motion.
Shermanek, yes.
Motion fails. Yes. Thank you very much.
Wait, can we?
Want a roll call vote on that?
Mr. Cahill?
Cahill, no.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Presley, no.
Evans, no.
Mullen, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Motion fails. Resolution to set annexation election December 14th. Should we do these together or separately?
You can do them together. It's, they're the same action.
I'll make a motion we set to approve a resolution to set the annexation election to December 14th, year 2006, 9 to 10 a.m., for the Hoffecker property at 5722 North DuPont Highway and the Flores property at 5543 North DuPont Highway.
Second.
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 All in favor?
Aye.
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 Sherman, aye.
Motion carries. The conflict of interest regarding Planning and Zoning Commission.
Again, I had this put on the agenda, and again, the subject has not been available this this week to either attend a meeting or to attend a meeting to get some information. This is not anything that I bring lightly. Once again, it is questions were raised, and I want to get the answers to the questions. That's the only reason.
Is it something that we're going to ask this person in public?
Yes. And I've talked to him about it. He doesn't have any problem with it. He would just as soon get it all out in the open, and that's what the real intent of it is.
He has
to
agreed
get
to
yes,
talk
he
to it.
Yes, he has.
And has he advised you that he was unable to be here tonight?
I haven't been able to get up with him this week. We're having a hard time finding the right time to meet.
I think we need to get this thing done. It's been on there.
I will concentrate on this for the next meeting after the holiday.
What do you want to do? Table it?
I'd make a motion that we table this item until the next meeting.
I will second that as long as we get it done at the next meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Presley, aye.
Motion carries. Second reading of Ordinance 02306, Building and Building Regulations, Reference Inspections. We reviewed this at the last meeting. This is the second reading. What's the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion that we consider this the second reading of Ordinance Number 023-06, Chapter 18, Buildings and Building Regulations, referring to inspections.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mullen, aye.
Trustee, aye.
Chairman, aye.
Aye.
Carries. F, resolutions to set the legislative fact-finding hearing for 5745 South DuPont Highway, the Stover Builders, the English property on Myrtle Street, and Oak Ridge Holdings at 5816 South DuPont Parkway for
February the 5th, 2007.
7 p.m. What's the pleasure of the council?
If I may ask one question, Mr. Hugg, the Stover Builders property and I believe the Oak Ridge Holdings, these are both in that Route 13 corridor, formerly in Newcastle County.
Yes, sir.
English on Myrtle Street. I know we discussed this last week.
English is a property kind of behind Expos and Bulldozers.
Yes, right. Got it. Thank you very much.
That enclave there.
Yep.
Is that a motion?
I'll make a me or someone else? You. Me? I'll make the motion. It's a resolve to set legislative fact-finding hearing and consider zoning designations on February 5th, 07 at 7 p.m. for Stover Builders Incorporated, 5745 South DuPont Highway, the English property on Myrtle Street, and the Oak Ridge Holdings of Delaware, 5816 South DuPont Parkway.
Second.
Second.
Go ahead.
Discussion?
Yes, please. The Myrtle property, that is a residential property, correct?
Right.
Correct.
The other two are commercial properties.
Right. We voted at the last meeting to annex English property. It was an enclave off of 300 back there by Bulldozers.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All in aye.
Presley, aye.
No.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Extend moratorium on tattoo and body piercing establishments until January 30th of 07. It's a pleasure to the council.
I'll just give a brief report. I've spoken to Mr. Barrows, who's been investigating and researching this issue as council has requested. Mr. Barrows has been out of town on business for a number of days in the past month, and as the research continues, there have many complexities have revealed themselves. So we're requesting some additional time to review this issue and ask that council consider and pass this moratorium extension.
You're asking maybe that we should table this?
No, we're asking
that we should extend.
We'll have to
extend it. Yes.
I'll make a motion that we extend the moratorium until January 30th, 2007 on tattoo and body piercing establishments in the town of Smyrna.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Carries. Disbursement of facade improving matching grants, Neville 215 North Main and Sheridan 42-44 West Commerce.
On your desk this evening was an updated matrix of where we are in terms of council projects or council approved projects that had been approved prior to the deferral, I guess, of the maintenance of the facade improvement grants. These are two more of the, I guess there were six altogether that were still in some stage of completion. The way the process works is there's an application that goes to through the Historic Review Board, comes to council to approve the facade grant, and then when the work is completed, that same process essentially takes place, and they have to come back to council for dispersal. When we're done tonight, there will be four grants remaining to be paid out in the amount shown on Janet's memo here of November 20th. The work on these projects, the 215 North Main Street is complete, and a portion or most of the work on the Sheridan property at 42 and 44 West Commerce Street is also complete and has been approved by the Building Inspections Department. So staff recommends that these two projects be approved for dispersal. Mr. Neville's grant request of $5,000 and the request, which I can't see where my fingers on here, for $2,410.50 for the Sheridan property.
Now, Mr. Hugg, just to clarify that this disbursement, this is the final step in a process that these folks have been
these
going
are,
through
these
for
These are
long.
Old projects that have been approved over the last year and a half or so that are now winding down.
And at every step of the way, they've complied, and it comes with the recommendation of staff.
Right.
I'll make the motion we approve the disbursement. May I do both these at the same time?
Yes. You may.
I'd make a motion that we approve the disbursement of facade improvement matching grants for the Neville property at 215 North Main Street and the Sheridan property, 42-44 West Commerce Street.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Chairman Eck, aye.
No.
Roughly, no.
Mullen, aye. They've been priorly approved.
You voted yes, correct? Mm-hmm. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
New business, 9A, subdivision application, Capano. Mr. Hugg?
Yes, sir. This is the project otherwise known as the Watson Farm. This project, at one time, not too long ago, involved a request for rezoning. After working with the property owners in the immediate area, the applicant made some changes to the design to change the mix of housing types and a few other changes. And as a result, is not seeking a rezoning, but plans to develop the property under the current zoning as the property was annexed. Representatives of the engineer for the owner are here, and I'd like to give them the opportunity to speak.
If I may, just prior to speaking, what is the recommendation of staff and planning and zoning on this?
Staff recommends the approval of this project. Subdivision plan, I'm sorry.
Planning and zoning, same thing?
Planning and zoning, same thing.
Thank you very much.
And along those lines, I believe that Dawn Boyce and the folks that lived in that area were at the P&Z hearing and expressed some level of satisfaction with your revisions.
Yes, they did.
Yes, sir. If you could give your name and address for the record.
My name is John Garcia, professional engineer with Cairns and Associates, and I'm representing the developer for the project. I also have with me Ed Polakowski, the Cairns and Associates principal with the firm. If I can give a brief description of the project and what we're planning to do here. As you're aware, the parcel borders Duck Farm Road, Duck Creek Road, and Joe Goldsboro Road over here. The existing parcel is an agricultural use. It's all farmed. And with the zoning, our client, what he enjoys doing is actually building community. As you see, the zoning, the southern part of the project, closer to Duck Creek, is where it's zoned R3. So this is where we place the townhouses and garden apartments. And as we proceed northward, we have the R2 zoning, where we have the what we're calling just smaller residential lots. And as we proceed further north, then we have the larger residential lots in the R1 zoning. As we discussed earlier, with the plan which you see in front of you is actually something that was formed almost for a year now, working not only with your town manager, Dave Hugg, the planning and zoning department, but recently, over about 6-7 weeks ago, we had an informal meeting with some of the residents in the area to discuss some changes. And one of them was, as was mentioned, we were thinking of rezoning the central portion to allow townhouses. And that was one of the things that the neighboring residents had a concern with. So we decided, not to do that, not to keep with the existing zoning the way it is. In that meeting, there was a few issues, especially drainage, traffic, things of that nature. And I'll go into much further, but some of the issues, we've actually started our TIS, which is a traffic impact study with DLDOT. We had a scoping meeting already. We talked about the limits of this, potential intersection improvements, things of that nature. In regards to what's considered, I guess, multimodal traffic, there's going to be sidewalks along Duck Creek Road, Clark Farm Road, as well as Dallas recommended and wants us to put in some bike paths as well through there. There's also going to be some trail that actually connects all the sections of this community that we're talking here. So internally, you'll be able to get back and around there. Additionally, drainage is obviously always a big issue in this area, and you know, not just all developed, but obviously there's concerns here. This being farm, you may be familiar that there's some tax ditches in the area and things like that. We've contacted the Conservation District, it's actually in Newcastle County. They've had all the maps, the easements, and things like that. So we're coordinating those easements into the plan. There's also a lot of tile drainage out there. A lot of low spots in the farm field where the farmer used to drain those areas through a system of underground, basically under drains, out into the tax ditches and things. So we've got all those maps, surveyed all those areas. So we're looking to see how we can develop our stormwater plan to incorporate that, because obviously if you start digging up those things, there's a reason they're there. You know, the farmer couldn't grow his crops properly. So obviously there's a water issue in the ground. So we're designing our stormwater features, our ponds, to try to incorporate as much as we call green technologies, grass, wells, things like that. So not only does it help clean water, runoff from the impervious, the pavement areas, and things like that, it also gives it an opportunity to soak back into the ground so we don't have extra runoff coming out into the site. A couple of unique features of the site, obviously, is the area here along Duck Creek. There's a really good vegetated wooded buffer along there. And it's actually where what we call the high importance wetlands are along Duck Creek with its total there. So what we plan to do is keep that whole wooded buffer through there. You know, we're going to put our roads, the townhouses up on top of the hill, not on the slope. The only disturbance will obviously be just be for utilities in that area. We do have a pond, stormwater pond, proposed near the top of the slope. So we're going to have some sort of discharge down onto the slope, but obviously, you know, we're going to try to keep it up as far as we can, make sure we minimize any disturbance in that whole buffer area. So in regards to wetlands, just moving on to some more environmental features, no disturbance in any wetlands areas through here. You know, we don't want to go down there. The only other wetland areas that our wetland consultant found, which is Atlantic Hydrologic, is actually along the tax ditches themselves. The bottom portion of them are considered a wetland by definition. You may be familiar that there's a new ditch rule that came out recently with the Army Corps of Engineers, so there's still discussion on how they will be regulated and you know, what we can do or we can't do. Now, the only thing that would probably affect the tax ditches is a crossing that we'll have just to get, you know, from one side to the other, nothing in regards to any wetland destruction in that fashion, because they were man-made, obviously. Let me see. The utilities on the site are obviously town utilities and things like that. We're going to be bringing up the sanitary sewer from the pump station down by the park, bringing the sewer up along Duck Creek Road so we can bring sewer onto the site. With that, obviously, it's going to create a potential for some septic elimination, and obviously that's going to be on those residents if they choose to tie in or not tie in, but at least that opportunity will be there for them to do that. In this northern area over here, where it's a large area, that's where we're actually proposed to put some ball fields in the park. So if there's extra playground equipment that we're going to get from the Air Force, we can put some over there temporarily or permanently.
We're using it all.
Are you using it all?
Yeah.
We'll try to get some more for you then.
All right.
Earlier this summer, we went through the PLUS with the state, the Land Use Committee, got all the state agency comments. Primarily, all the comments were very positive about the development. They like the mixed residential use that we have it growing here, primarily because it helps with various economic factors. Families who are just starting off can maybe afford some of the smaller single families. But then you also have, you know, second houses that can move into the larger single families as well. Most of those comments were more recommendations. You know, make sure you get your sediment stormwater approval. Make sure you get DLDOT approval. You know, you have wetlands out there. Stuff that we already know. And if you guys understand the PLUS process, a lot of the comments were recommendations in general. The only other thing which I thought was kind of unique, too, is that along Duck Creek here is actually maybe some Native American artifacts. It's a high likelihood that there may be some. So we're going to allow the state to go in there and investigate to see if they can find any artifacts in there. But again, it's nothing that's going to affect the development, and we can see it as a good thing. We've had discussions with the town engineer, KCI, about the project. They've had some comments. Again, nothing major, just regarding notes and details and things of that nature. But obviously, we haven't gotten into all the construction plans at this time to work out all the ins and outs of everything. But that's, you know, what we plan to do, hopefully with your approval after this. Let's see. Talked about the roads, which, again, like I said, it'd be sidewalks and bicycle paths. Oh, one of the other issues when we met with the residents out in this area in here, especially along Duck Creek Road here, they're very concerned with their view shed, you know, what they're used to seeing throughout the, you know, when they live there, they've been there a lot longer. So what we're doing in the plan, we're incorporating landscaping and berms all along through here. So when they look across the street, you know, they're going to see trees, essentially, landscaping and stuff, so they won't at least sort of block, you know, the view of those houses over there that they're not seeing. And I'm not saying it's going to block it entirely, but it'll help, you know, block that as well.
While you're looking at your notes, does anyone have any questions at this point?
Yeah, how much landscaping, I mean, you're talking perimeter landscaping. How much landscaping are you going to do within the development?
Our client does, in regards to his marketing and selling, he does have a landscape package that he does, not only, you know, on the lots and things like that.
It's also required in town.
It's required in town ordinance. Three trees and things of that nature, yes.
Right.
Two streets per lot or one?
Two trees per lot, I believe, is the current.
Which is pretty heavy.
Requirement. And
what kind of guarantees are the town have with the bicycle path and all that stuff?
It's on the site plan.
That's going to be more of a Del-Dot requirement in regards to bike paths and sidewalks and things of that nature. So when the TIS is finalized, it takes a little time to get through the whole process. That's one of the things that we have to incorporate. And there's also going to be the road most likely will be wide in the right of way because we have to get some right of way to the state along our property. So,
well, let me ask you this. I mean, you said two trees per lot. I guess I'm more concerned with the townhouse development.
Down in this area.
Yeah, I mean, I see a set of dominoes as opposed to, I mean, any kind of, you know, landscape, whatever. I'm just a little concerned that we have a...
Right, and this plan just shows it, you know, from a larger perspective.
Right.
And obviously the townhouses are going to be grouped in, like, four packs or six packs and things of that nature. So it's not going to be, you know, 20, 30 townhouses in a row, but there will be, you know, landscaping providers on the front of the lots and things like that.
I have a question actually for Mr. Hugg. The town owns the land along Goldsboro Road coming off of Duck Creek Road. I know there's that's a very pristine area. Well, parts of it are. And I know in the future the town could possibly have plans to develop some type of park, walking trail, something like that. What is this going? Is this going to impact? Does it have the potential to impact on that? Any plans that we do down there?
I don't believe so. I think that probably both plans will augment each other. The long-term plan for the Ebright Farm, which is the property you're talking about. We use a very small portion of it up at the kind of near the intersection of Goldsboro and Duck Creek for, we still extract some materials from it, but basically as kind of construction disposal site. As council well knows, that practice is getting harder and harder to continue, and we're going to be looking for some alternatives. The Ebright site actually is an old borrow pit, but it's been left alone for so long that it's become almost like a Georgia swamp. It's got it's pretty interesting, pretty interesting topography. Our plan is to expand the municipal park to include that area. I mean, it is owned by the town and in town limits, and the ultimate plan is to connect trails. Use that for nature interpretation. I think it would give an ideal opportunity to link some of the walking trails that are being proposed in in this project so that it becomes part of a recreation system. Ed, maybe, or John, one of you, the percentage of open space in this plan is now proposed to be what?
The total open area is still approximately 50%.
Okay.
So we're trying to keep as much open space as possible.
Right. One of the requirements that both we and our engineers will be working with the developer on is this: when this was annexed, it was annexed with both its base zoning and the Environmental Protection Overlay District, and that requires, among other things, that they maximize the amount of open space, minimize the intrusion into groundwater recharge areas of which there are a couple, and that's particularly why we have so much green at the north end. So I think that in addition to the landscaping that will be required, although they show a number of ponds, I know they're looking at alternative technologies even to try and minimize the amount of pond construction that's necessary.
I've got another question, John. In the July 28th, 06 submission of this plan, it shows parcel A, which is the northernmost parcel. On the July 28th submission, parcel A, it's zoned R1 and it contains 42 lots. And on the October submission, you have parcel A containing 55 lots. And that's not my point, but there's a couple more lots in parcel A, which is the northernmost side. In parcel B, which is the center section on the west side of Duck Creek, in the October submission, which is the one that we're dealing with right now, you have 148 lots. And in parcel B in the July submission, you have 123 lots with a very nice layout as far as a bike path and open space in the area. And it's almost a wash. You do give up 12 lots, but I would suggest or I would recommend that parcel A of the October submission, the October 11th submission, be used, and parcel B, the July submission, be used. It really gives a very, very definite open space and walking paths, and it just, it blends into what you have in parcel C and D so much better. I don't know if you could look at that and.
We actually had a couple different proposals, Mr. Mullen, when we went through this, and that's one of the reasons why we really went to look at the center parcel zoned at a higher density, put the town out. So obviously, my client has a certain requirement of needs to make this thing work. So one of the trade-offs to get rid of the townhouse and not push for that higher density in the middle parcel is we had to throw a few more lots up here to make all the numbers work. There's still going to be opportunities to link the property to greenways and things of that nature. But at this time, that's one of the reasons why some of the things were changed. A few lots added here, a few lots there, to make the whole the numbers work.
What I would like to do is for you to go back to your client and ask him if he would have any objection to it, because quite frankly, I think it'd be an advantage to him
and
to have a more wide open development.
And obviously, the layout we have here may be tweaked here and there as we go through all the construction approvals. Not only with all the conservation district, far more things. Once we get all the HCs, there may be a little tweaks on lots of that may happen. Just inadvertently may happen that way.
Well, John, was this plan changed because of the meeting that you had with the citizens around there?
Yes.
And this is what they came up with, the citizens that are living around.
It was more of a compromise.
Okay.
actually, I think Mr. Paul has to come because he actually was at that meeting with the residents in the area. And received most of the fire, so you can speak more about that.
Paul Tasky, also with Karen's and Associates. In response to this, we've committed with Mr. Hug that we will provide walking trails through the site, including this area. We did promise that we would open it up, minimize the lot sizes as much as possible, and create as much open area as we could. But we did agree that we would work through the record stage to create that open feeling again as much as possible, still maintaining as many lots as we have now, of course. As to that informal meeting that we had with some of the residents, there was great concern with the townhouses in this area. That was the overwhelming concern. We withdrew that plan after consultation with our client in order to, we don't want to make anyone unhappy when we move into a neighborhood. The intent was to just see what we could draw with the existing zoning that would eliminate those townhouses.
Gentlemen, I have two comments I'd like to make. Number one, I'd like to commend you and your client for being receptive to the neighbors when they objected to those townhouses in that center parcel and revising your plans to make them happy. I think that was very commendable on your part, and I'm glad to see that you're trying to work with the people of the town of Smyrna and the surrounding area. Number two, one thing I'm concerned about in this, you've mentioned the bicycle paths, walking paths. Number one, they're a great source of exercise. I come from New York, and everybody jogs, and you need a place to jog, and you can't jog out on the roads because there's too much traffic now. But more importantly for me is this. We have a situation in the town of Smyrna where, because of the way we've grown, on the other side of town, removed from your project, there is no way to get from the central part of town to the southern part of town without either walking along the shoulder of Route 13 or the ditch on Carter Road, because there is no shoulder. We have no sidewalks. We have no bike paths. We have no, really, other than walking flat out in the middle of the street, there is no pedestrian way to do this. Now, you're going to be bringing in probably 0.6 children per unit, which is the average here in Smyrna. What I would like to see, especially with the location of this, this is bicycle and walking distance to two of our schools, the high school and the other school, and both of them have to cross a creek. Okay, which very much limits. In your long-range plans, if you can get this in, I would just love to see you think along those lines and how you can help us best set up some pedestrian and bicycle accesses across Duck Creek from your project down into the main part of town.
There is a great opportunity right now with all the development going along Route 13 to bring a lot of the pedestrians even through the site with walking trails instead of walking along 13.
Right.
Obviously, I can't commit to anything on 13, but we can certainly direct some walkways to our property line, and as these properties come in and get developed, they can tie into it. We would locate it in such a manner that it was along their property line, perhaps. That would get as much traffic, pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic as possible off of 13. One of the things that this plan doesn't show, and it was brought up before, I thought it's worth mentioning, is that this is all wooded right now around the townhouses. And we intend to keep those woods. We've kept the houses a substantial distance away from the trees, away from the drip line, so that there is no disturbance to that wooded buffer that we have.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Hug, the developer will be required to put sidewalks on a road frontage that he owns, correct? So that could eventually tie into
right,
our park.
Right, on Duck Creek Road, I would.
Those sidewalks would eventually, when you develop the old borrow right. pit.
Yeah.
I think the plan you have in front of you shows that one of the walkways we have comes out here and goes through our site along the frontage already. It would be a good opportunity to tie in.
Right. I just wanted to point that out. Any other questions for the engineers? Thank you very much. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion. We approve the subdivision application for the Capano property.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Evans, aye.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Mullins?
Silence implies a yes vote, so you better speak up, son.
Yes, I know. It comes with the recommendation of staff, and it complies with all the, for now, requirements, so I'm going to have to say aye.
Dr. Cermak?
Given the fact that you're willing to work with the town and continue to work in the town in the future, I vote aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. 9B, recommendation of Finance Committee. Mr. Hug, did you review that?
I'm sorry.
Ed, can I impose upon you to hang around for a minute? Sorry, John. We don't need you, but if you guys are not riding together, but...
Good night, huh?
Oh, actually, I wanted to see that picture. It wouldn't be possible to leave it with you, would it? If you guys don't
mind. We should only be another minute, I think.
Yeah, we're not.
We won't be
long. We won't be very long.
You could just continue.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Hug.
Yeah, we're setting up a new payroll account, as council does from time to time, we need to authorize the appropriate signatures. This is a matter we took to the Finance Committee at an earlier meeting. We would like to have the council authorize the town manager, the manager of accounting and business, the administrative assistant, or the mayor. Any two of the four would be the authorized signatories.
What's the pleasure of the council?
What is it? What's the procedure now?
Well, this is a new account, so this is consistent with how we have most of our accounts. The ones in the police department substitute the chief of police for the town manager, for example.
Why do you have a new account?
We're setting up a new account because of the recommendation from our auditor was that we should. Right now, the automatic payroll system. Interacts directly with the checking account, and while we feel pretty comfortable that there's adequate safeguards, the auditor suggested that we really ought to have a separate payroll account in case there's some glitch in the bank accounting system or whatever. It would only hit that account.
Get into all the town finance.
Yeah, it's a separation of accounts issue.
Okay.
I'll make the motion that we accept the recommendation of the Finance Committee on 11106 to authorize bank signatures for a new payroll account for the town manager, manager of accounting and business services, administrative assistant, mayor, any two of the four required.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. F, establishment of an ad hoc committee to review and revise land development and zoning ordinances. I'll just briefly state this was actually Mr. Presley's idea. I called the manager. He was shocked at what a brilliant idea was. And
I thought you'd used up your good idea for the year, Bill, but I'd give you credit for it.
So with Mr. Hug's concurrence, I did call three local engineers. Mr. Hug had a brilliant idea that we not invite any attorneys to be involved. I do have to commend him on.
No offense, Erica.
She's going to be working on the zoning ordinance. She'll be busy enough.
I spoke to Zach Couch at Davis Boner Friedel. That's DBF. They're out of Milford. They do an enormous amount of work, and I think Gene would speak very highly of them. Zach has a young lady in his office who he thought could help. I apologize. I do not recall her name. They just recently rewrote another local municipality's zoning and subdivision ordinance. The reason I asked Ed to stick around is I spoke to Ed. He has graciously volunteered to help us in case anybody had any questions for him. And I spoke to Greg Moore at Becker Morgan. Greg said he would be personally willing to be involved, and I think Gene would probably also speak highly of that firm. And the concept, and of course KCI, our in-house engineering firm, would be involved along with Hudson Jones and Jay Work. And with the thought process of getting these folks to very quickly come up with some new language. It's all out there on the internet, and they all have a lot of experience. And some of these firms actually do this for a fee. They write these ordinances. bring those back hopefully by the end of the year for the manager's review and staff's review and get it to us in the first of the year and get it adopted so we can get this off our plate. This is something that, quite frankly, should have been done years ago, and we've been remiss, and I'd like to appoint representatives from those firms to the ad hoc committee.
I guess who else is going to be on this committee besides those firms?
No,
to me,
town.
that
well,
our,
if you
our town engineer is going to be there.
Yeah. We have a memo. Mr. Hugg kind of came up with an idea. It's in your packet for your review over the weekend.
I guess what I'm saying is, are there any citizen members?
Not at this time.
What about council members?
Or council members?
Well, council are members of all committees, so they're more than welcome.
Well, no, there are only three council members allowed on any given committee as committee members.
Well, I mean, keep in mind it is an ad hoc committee, so it is a fact-finding committee rather than somebody that's going to recommend. We still have the ability to oversee what they do and approve what they do and everything else.
Yeah, but we are the town council. We are the elected representatives.
Exactly.
And we deserve a voting seat on that committee.
Well,
or are we simply reduced to spectators in the process?
Who else is going to chair the committee?
Mr. Hugg.
The town manager will chair the committee.
Okay.
Would anybody on council like to be on that committee?
I will.
I mean, you're certainly welcome to be. My thought in putting this together after talking to Mayor Schaefer and Mr. Presley was and KCI was that this is primarily a technical review by the engineers and planners with the idea that we would bring our recommendations, our thoughts to council, and then council could send them to the appropriate committee or committees or consider them as a committee of the whole. Certainly wasn't any attempt to not involve members of the council, but I thought the beauty of the whole notion was that I mean, Ed and I and Greg and I, we all work together on a very close basis with our town engineer and sort of getting sort of the like disciplines together in a room, we could probably work our way through this pretty quickly. And
well, I guess what I'm concerned about is this. Is this an opportunity that's going to be lost? The opportunity is to, again, redirect. We're building a community here. Is this an opportunity to build a community that's going to be lost because we're dealing with people who basically have a vested interest in development? Or is it people who have more of a philosophical basis of what a community is, how we can, what elements are put into a community that we also need. I'm a little concerned over this because I think this is very important. I don't think we need to rush this through before the end of the year because it hasn't been done in so long, and I'm just really concerned over the fact that
Doug, my thought was when I said it was, first thing was these guys were professionals that did it all the time. And the second thing, they volunteered their time. But before it's all said and done, the council has we will get to see it and say yes, nay, or whatever.
And you'll also have, one important thing, and you also have to have public hearings prior to adoption.
Well, the other thing I'm concerned about is, okay, fine. So if you don't have the input of people, citizen members, people who care about this community, all of a sudden we get a recommendation to council, which unfortunately is not appropriate, or it doesn't pass. I don't know what public meetings between now and the first of the year.
No.
Well, the problem we have with council meetings in general is this: is by the time we get up here, we're dealing with so many issues so quickly, and if we haven't done extensive research and homework, and that's what our committees are all about, it gives a chance for several members of council, in conjunction with several citizens, to do the in-depth research and the work and spend an hour or two on something that we can only afford to spend about 10 minutes on. And I don't want something this important simply brought up to council, thrown on my desk, and said, said here. Read it in the next 3 minutes and vote on it, which is kind of the way it boils down for us. One thing I could accept, if because, David, your plan sounds good, to get these experts in and do kind of a, you know, expert review, but I would like to see it then be presented to a committee, and it could be even a committee of the whole council. You know, we could all show up for it, but where we could get that kind of...
Exactly, that's what he just said.
In-depth feeling prior to it coming directly to council.
And I would remind you that you know, of the members, the town manager, the planning and zoning manager, the chairman of the planning commission, the town engineer, and the town solicitor all work for and have the best interests of the town at heart, and we substantially outnumber the folks who are going
to
be working with us.
And don't forget, you know, the engineers subscribe to a canon of ethics also, and I have a lot of confidence in these guys that are on this list. These are all highly respected engineers, and they're not going to do anything that would negatively impact not only their reputation but their careers.
Right. But ultimately, we the
Absolutely.
Elected officials are the ones that are responsible.
Sure. That's correct.
I would be for this if we can leave its end result flexible.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to ensure if everybody's
sure
okay with
it.
Absolutely.
Also flexible. Done, we have a meeting with all council members.
We could refer to a committee for further study, you know,
just,
once the results are in.
Make it as a
if everybody's
whole.
Okay with that.
Committee as a whole.
Therefore, I'm going to make the motion that we establish an ad hoc committee to review and revise land development and zoning ordinances.
Would you be willing to add Mrs. White to that list?
Absolutely, sir. That would be up to you. You'll be doing the appointing.
All right. Well, these are the appointees I'm making here.
Okay. Do you want to do that
with
as a separate
Mrs.
motion,
White.
Mr. Schaefer?
No. Just your motion.
Okay. I would like to amend my motion to establish an ad hoc committee with the persons that have been named, including Ms. White. And if you would, sir, just name off those other people.
Well, it's in the November 16th memo, Mr. Hugg's memo.
It would be.
Okay, then as outlined in the November 16th memo.
Right.
That's my motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Presley, aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Motion. Thank you, Ed. I didn't know if anybody had any specific questions for you.
Thank you. Good night.
Can I get a motion to table 9E?
I make a motion that we table under new business 9E, decision on personnel disciplinary matter.
There a second?
I'll second.
Yep. I'd like some discussion, please.
Yes.
This was discussed in depth a few minutes ago at the executive session meeting. My impulse would be to act on it tonight, and the recommendation I would make, this is not a formal motion I'm just throwing out to y'all, is I think this simply ought to be turned over back over to Dave Hugg, the town manager, and he should proceed as he feels fit on this issue.
Well, I think that's what we basically did, but he wanted to wait until the time limit was done before we took action on it.
And ultimately, by the personnel policy, the town council has to agree with my recommendation. So,
okay, so the appropriate thing is to table it, in your opinion, sir?
I believe the appropriate thing is to table it.
I withdraw my objection.
But it will have to come back to council at your next meeting.
I withdraw my objection. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Presley, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mr. Evans, did you have something else?
Yeah, on the other council business, on November the 16th, this council voted to allow the town employees to, what was it, give up some of their vacation time, sell back some of their vacation time. I don't know if anybody else on this council was aware that when we voted for this, I was under the impression that all town employees were entitled to that. Since November the 16th, I have learned that the electric department was excluded from that. Now, are we opening up a lawsuit here? Because the way I feel about it, the electric department has the authority to sue the town because they're discriminating. I mean, some council members might say that, well, they under a contract or they're negotiating with the union. They haven't signed one earthly thing saying they're going to join the union. They're negotiating with the union. Now, I don't know how any other council member feel, but that's the way I feel.
What exactly did we vote on?
Yeah. Mr. Evans, the members of the electric department are, in fact, members of ASME. They voted to be represented, and council approved their representation. The fact that we don't have a contract with them is a matter of the negotiation process, and, in fact, we're in mediation over a couple of items. But they are legally represented by ASME, and, you know, without commenting one way or the other on this particular matter, they are bound by their representation by ASME and the agreements that are contained in, at this point, what they consider their last best offer to us. If you choose, and this is no different than the police department and the fact that they are represented by a union, and therefore any provisions relating to their benefits, their compensation, what have you, are a subject of that negotiation and contract process. This is, again, without commenting on the merits, once a group of employees has determined that they are going to be represented by a union and has voted to do so, then they are represented by their union. And whether they have a contract or not, their official bargaining position is as represented by their union. And any matter that they choose to bring for negotiation or mediation is through that union and part of that union discussion. That is the nature of the fact that they have joined a union. And that doesn't mean that they necessarily will benefit from everything that the other town employees get. Conversely, it doesn't mean other town employees will get benefits or concessions that the union may be able to negotiate. So that's kind of the situation that we're in terms of their current representation. That I'll ask Erica, because we don't have a signed contract. I don't know whether that makes an additional difference or not. I mean,
can I ask a question real quick? And it's probably for Erica. Wouldn't the fact that they're under that they're in a union but no contract has been signed yet, wouldn't they technically fall under all the requirements that the town has for the other employees until that contract is signed?
I don't know the answer to either of your questions off the top of my head, and I think it's too important of an issue for me to just give an off-the-cuff opinion.
Well, if you're going to give us that opinion, I'm interested to know in what we did vote on or didn't vote on. Because when I thought we voted on that resolution, it included everybody. You know, I don't necessarily agree or disagree with.
It did include, but
it said town employees.
Being on the.
So we voted to give them that.
Yeah, but.
So how are we unilaterally changing the vote without another vote?
But
you understand what I'm trying to say?
In the personnel manual, it had, when we started the union thing, if they had belonged to the union, we couldn't in our personnel. We couldn't do data until because they're under contract.
I understand,
but they can't be in limbo until the contract is signed. I mean, they have to fall under something. So I would assume that they would fall under the existing town requirements for all employees until the contract.
When the employees form their union,
carry over until the contract is signed, and they could certainly put that clause in their contract if they so desired.
Yeah,
I think, unfortunately, on this issue, we got a whole lot of questions. I'll speak for myself. I got a whole lot of concern about this and concern about the employees over at the electric department, that they get a fair shake, just like every other employee in town. But when we interject unions into it, like you guys have gone unions, the police have gone unions, it does significantly change the way things are done. Now, I believe I heard our learned town attorney just say a second ago, like, she's not really too sure, okay? And I'll speak for myself. I'm not really too sure either.
Well,
so,
well, I think we'll have to have Mr. Burroughs, who's been working with the whole mitigation, let him look into it.
Yeah. I'd like to see this.
What I would suggest, and I think probably the reason the electric department is particularly concerned, under the provisions of the personnel policy, the decision to elect to sell back had to be made today, and the electric department employees, or I guess most of them, I don't know what all of them did, but most of them elected to sell back the maximum number of days, the 5 days. Normally that sellback is paid in the first paycheck in December. So what I would suggest is, if it's all right with the members of council, and I don't know that we need a motion, but you can certainly make one, is that while we're waiting for Mr. Barrows to take a look at this issue, which means it won't come back to council until at least the 4th, that we not exclude the electric union workers from the possibility that the answer will be to pay them the 5 days.
Can I make a motion to that effect?
If you'd like, yes. I mean, it's just
motion as, sir.
It'd be great. You can make a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion that until we find out differently, that we simply, regarding this matter, treat the electric company employees as any other person under the personnel policy until we get information back from Mr. Burroughs telling us differently.
I'll second.
Comment. Mr. Evans is here. Can you come to the microphone and give your name and address for the record?
Wait, can we make a motion on this?
I'm William Evans, 239 Oliver Gesture Road. I'm a town employee. The last best and final offer that we had sent in for the town, this was done after that, so there's no way that we could have put it in the last best and final offer that they gave us this 5 vacation sell that. And I'm sure Mr. Presley and Dave is aware that Burroughs already has the last best and final offer, and there is a mediator coming back, but this was done after that fact, so we didn't realize we were excluded until the following day.
We didn't realize you excluded until tonight, most of us, I think.
The fact of the matter is, though, if you don't have it in your contract, you're not going to get it. If the contract is ratified by the town and by you, and it's not in your contract, you're not going to get it. Until that contract is signed and sealed, then you, as far as I'm concerned, you should fall under the policies of the town as established right now.
Correct.
But if it's not in your contract, then you're going to lose it again when that contract is signed.
And I would love to think of that fact, and I'm sorry I don't talk good in front of people, but this goes way back to the executive session you guys carried on the salary adjustments that you all spent the night in the council chambers approving all the different salary increases for the town employees, that I found out the following day that baby steps were taken in the right direction. And then the second day I was in Pennsylvania with my family, and I called to find out exactly what we had received. And they said the electric department was exempt from that. But I believe that you can listen to that recording, and the only thing that was said the night of that, because I needed a point to be here, was that the police officers were the only ones exempt from that. So there's a lot of members of our electric department that deserve a raise that hasn't got one, or the salary adjustment. I'm not saying a raise. I'm just saying the salary adjustment, because you guys went and you realized that, hey, we're underpaying people. We're going to bring them up to where they should be. So it goes back to that meeting also, that we haven't seen any salary adjustment either.
But let me indicate for the record that that's a little bit different matter, because the negotiating posture that the town council approved and the offer we made to the electric employees, which is now part of the draft contract, was to make that adjustment to your salaries, and there is a retroactivity provision in the offer that it's just unfortunate that it's taken so long to get to a contract.
Sure. Sure, I understand, but this is something that was even promised way before. Council made the promise to bring everybody up. So this shouldn't even have been an issue of the union, because this was promised before we even started negotiating for the union. And that was our only thing. This was promised to us. It was given to the rest of the town. We were exempt from it just because in that time frame we had started negotiating for the town. But this was promised to us back in January of last year to bring us up, you know, the salaries up to where they should be.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Anybody else have any comments? We have a motion. Hearing none, call the question. All in favor?
The motion again is, please, that we treat the
give them the 5 days sell back.
Until which time the contract is signed?
Until
they get it this year.
Contract is signed.
Right. They get it this year, correct, Mr. Hug? You're not going to sign a contract before the end of the year.
I rather doubt it, given the stalemate we're in with. I mean, we're basically negotiating one item, and that's what's been holding the contract up. So
they're going to get it this year, 5 days. They're going to be able to sell.
Well, that wasn't Mr. Cahill's motion, but
can you clarify your motion?
I can't remember my motion.
Your motion was to treat them like any other employee.
Until
which time?
Until they have a signed contract.
Yes.
So that means they can sell back 5 days like every other employee.
Right.
Yeah, I believe that's what I said, was just that it would only be in effect until we get an opinion back from Mr. Barrows, and then we may change. But in the interim, we consider the regular personnel policy to cover the electric company, too.
Just so everybody knows, the deadline for requesting the sell back is when?
It was today, and they've all submitted their
paperwork. They are selling back 5 days. They've all filled out the forms. They've all turned them into town hall. So that's what you are going to do. And I think we had a second, didn't we not?
So our option right now then would be to either negate that by refusing to pass it, or to go ahead and pass and approve that and be done with it for the ones they filled out up until today.
They can't be in limbo just because we're in. Right. Just because we're trying to get a contract signed, they've got to be one place or the other. They just can't be in limbo, because if they were, then the town wouldn't have to pay them because they wouldn't have a pay schedule.
Being in limbo, we as a town have offered them and made offers. It ain't our fault.
We
have waited on them for months now to even get back to us.
I know that.
So don't put the burden on the town.
No, I'm not.
We have tried.
I'm not, but I'm just saying, you can't be hanging in thin air. You either have to be a town employee, or if they get a contract signed, then they come under contract. That's the bottom line.
Would this in any way obligate us to
everything,
have it grandfathered into their contract, where all of a sudden this would be
no.
Because we're still negotiating a separate contract.
Right.
Therefore, I'll make my motion as it stands until December 4th at least. Let's continue with the policy that.
Does the seconder of the motion concur? Or
yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Presley not voting.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I have other council business. On January 1st, I think the state legislature convenes again. During with that time, in and around that time. At that time, any and all charter changes that we want to conclude have to be submitted to our legislature to be done. We have several issues, I think, that need to be addressed in our charter, one of which is the ability for the citizenship to recall any councilman. There are other charter changes, I think, which need to be done, which include, I think we need to clarify where the Smyrna law, as I call it, the Smyrna voting law appeal, has to be integrated into our own charter, and what happens at that point. I think there's other issues that in our charter which need also to be addressed. And as we are appointing ad hoc committees, I would appeal to the council to appoint an ad hoc committee to look at, into the charter changes that we need to submit to our state legislature.
Anything else?
Just a point of clarification to council. The legal local governments continues to indicate that the legislation that restricts the ability of the town to impose impact fees on the school district did not pass. In fact, that was it did pass. It was Senate Bill 19. It was signed by the governor on July the 6th. So we and other jurisdictions are prohibited from charging impact fees and most building permit fees on school construction. That is an issue I brought to council some time ago as having a potentially negative impact on us as a community because all the schools are located either in Clayton or Smyrna. I doubt there's much support to get that law changed, but I did want to clarify that contrary to what has been reported, that piece of legislation did, in fact, pass.
We are allowed to charge, however, for our reasonable costs.
There are reasonable costs, and we can charge for, I believe it's sewer-related impact fees. There are some limitations, but...
And also, in that law, is that, I mean, we can... the engineering fees can be applied to the schools outside. We get engineering fees plus a percentage.
Our reasonable costs of inspection and engineering is still chargeable, but not our standard permit fees.
Right.
I have just one thing I want to kind of expand on. Something that Doug said. The charter changes that we need to make. Recall. I think the ethics question needs to be added into the charter, and I highly support some type of ad hoc committee or some type of committee to explore this and get this thing going. And I would ask council to. Think about people that could possibly be on this committee, and the next meeting, I'd like it added to the agenda. Committee be formed.
If anybody has thoughts, if we could give them to Mr. Hug and get them to me.
Yeah, I think that's the appropriate thing to do. We can't really vote on it now. We can't take any action now. But I'm glad it got brought out on the floor, and we should by the next meeting be moving along on this. Yeah. And getting it ready.
A motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Aye.
I need a rest. No, it's a 2-week cruise. Hey, I'm getting old, dude.
Yeah, man. Guy that works about. Spent 2.5 weeks in the building something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good, doctor.
Good.
Bay Hill.
Where do we sign up?
Oh, yeah. It was referred to the Finance Committee. It's still being digested by the Finance Committee.
What's that?
The waiving of fees from Christiana.
Oh yeah, we're getting figures together.
Nice Thanksgiving.
Don't forget me tomorrow.
Just finding out what the impact was.
Very good.
Okay.
So,
like I said, we really didn't have a lot of information.